This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Brady.
Back. This is Lock and Load, and we are going to spend this hour talking with writer Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. Glad to be here.
So let's talk about this. We have talked many times about some people out there that for some reason believe that the only thing that should be taken in the woods to possibly fight or defend against a bear is bear spray.
Correct.
And they're always out there pointing to the efficacy of bear spray at being at 98% of the time this is going to work. This is, you know.
Yeah. It's not really what was described in the study.
Right.
But the way it is used is exactly as you say. And that's what you see. The people who want to believe, and a lot of this is they want to believe, will tell you that bear spray is effective 98% of the time in stopping bear attacks. But that's not what was actually said in the study that they are talking about. And for example, I quote Tom Smith. Tom Smith is one of the authors of the two studies that are almost always compared to each other.
Right.
Which is efficacy of bear spray in Alaska, and the other one is efficacy of firearms in bear deterrence in Alaska. And I might have one word transposed there, but they're famous studies, and people can find them rather easily.
Right.
And Tom, I'm going to quote Tom Smith here when he's talking about the studies, and what he says. And it just fuels this misunderstanding, I think. He says, 98% of people who used bear spray escaped injury, with 2% being knocked over but not killed, as opposed to only about 50% of people using guns. But there are some real problems with that statement. Because as a person, as a different person who studied bear attacks and has written a couple books about it. His name is Dave Smith.
Right. Dad.
He said the thing about comparing those two studies is the numbers, the way they're calculated, and the incidents are completely different. So it's comparing the injuries somebody might get from picking up apples to the injuries they might get by picking up live hand grenades. And I think it's a pretty good analogy.
Right.
The 98% comes from the efficacy of bear deterrent spray in Alaska. And this is and was the seminal paper that people refer to claim that bear spray is extremely effective in stopping bear attacks. Now, it's pretty limited in the amount of data. There were 72 incidents in which bear spray was sprayed in this case. But only 25 incidents, or 35% of them, involved what they call aggressive bears.
Right.
And only 10% of those, only 10 incidents, or 14%, involved charging bears. And there were three injuries, as Smith mentioned, and all three injuries occurred in the 10 incidents where bears charge people. So if you're actually looking at incidents where bears were charging people and talking about how many people were injured, 30% or only 70% escaped injury. But that's not how they calculate things. In order to get the 98% figure, they looked at the total number of people who were involved in these 71 incidents. And the number drops from 72, remember I said there were 72 where bears were sprayed, to 71, and they never explained what the one incident they took out was. That just drops from 72 to 71. It's part of the overall numerology of this paper, which is extremely complicated and difficult to understand. And I've read it many times, and I'm a math guy.
Sure.
It's just hard to figure out what is going on with what, because they change the basis for their numbers and what they use for numbers, and they pick percentages of parts of numbers over and over, and it's just, in my opinion, it's very difficult to understand what's going on with the numbers. But what they look at is how many people were involved in these incidents where bears were sprayed, which there were 175 in 71 instances. And then they say, how many people were injured? 3. Well, if you divide 3 by 175, you come out with less than 2%, about 1.7%.
Right.
But we have no idea how many people of the 175 had bear spray, or how many people of the 175 actually sprayed bear spray. All we know is that in the 71 cases they finally look at, bears were sprayed in all, or bear spray was used, I should say, in all 71 incidences, because they mention that there are a number of incidents where the bear spray never reached the bear. And they mention that there's a number of incidents where the sound of the bear spray is what was effective in deterring the bear. So it would be really nice if Smith and Herrero would just publish a table of the dates and times and places and people, number of people and number of bears involved in all the incidents that they are using. There's only 71 of them.
Right.
That's not that long of a table. But they never release their data to other researchers or to the public. And we know some of what was going on in these bear incidents, at, you know, of about 30% of them anyway, were officials harassing bears in campgrounds and such.
Right.
And the only actual incident they talk about, to give any details of, involves, well, there's two of them, and it involves polar bears. The two incidents that involve polar bears, they describe. And they make a big deal in this paper about how bear spray is effective in deterring polar bears in 100% of the incidents, all two of them. That's not much of a basis to use for a study or a paper. Here, I'm going to quote what they say about those polar bear incidents. They say, in both polar bear incidents, subadult bears approached humans in a pickup truck. There, and the humans were in the pickup truck, not the bears, to observe bears feeding on bowhead whale.
I tell you what, hold right there if you can. I want to tell you my impression of this when we get into this next segment. Now, this article is at Ammoland.com, where Dean has nearly 2,300 other articles waiting on you today. And all the articles that he writes, in some ways, they're just as poignant today as they were the day he wrote them, whether he wrote them last week or last year or in the last decade. And that's the beauty of bringing him on here, of the stuff he writes. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to MGS.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis Quality Built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holster for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Science and statistics is what's being thrown at us. This is Lock and Load, and I'm talking to Dean Weingarten. We're talking about this thing about them saying 98% of the time bear spray is effective against bears. And you're bringing up these polar bear incidents, right? And is it the opinion of some of these people that go out there that only take bear spray, that they can go up to bears and mess with them, and they can just bear spray them away, and that'll be okay. Everything's okay. We can just mess with bears like this. Is this?
Well, what I think is happening here is that in these two polar bear incidents, I believe it's researchers in the pickup truck.
Right.
Whether it's one or two researchers, we're never told. But at least one human is in a pickup truck, which is fairly safe against bears.
Right.
And sub-adult polar bears approach the pickup truck. Now, in the paper, they say this is a menacing activity, which is how they include it in the study. They claim every incident that they're looking at in the study is menacing. And they draw a kind of weird, I would say, definition of what is menacing, what's an attack, what's an aggressive bear. It's not all that clear. And a lot of this, they admit, is subjective. So, where you have these researchers in a pickup truck, or maybe they're just park personnel or something, and a bear approaches them, or one of them. I don't know how many are in the pickup truck. They don't tell us that. The bear is sprayed. It's sub-adult bears, and they leave. Twice this happens. We don't know how far apart, and those bears do not come back. But that's really, really thin gruel to base a paper on, saying that bear spray works great at stopping polar bears. And so it's the only incident they give us any kind of detail about what happened. And it's important to know detail in these incidents, because what I might describe as an aggressive attack by a bear, somebody else might say, if the person had just not done anything, the bear was just defending its property or something, you know. You get all kinds of weird approaches.
Sure.
But if you can read the details of what happened, you can make your own judgment. So when I publish incidents where people defended themselves with handguns against bears, I always include a description of what happened. And this is documented, and usually there is a link people can go to read more for themselves. Or if it's the Freedom of Information Act, we explain how we got it. Usually try and put a little more detail so people understand what happened. But it just is very, how should I put it? It's not good science to just say, well, we picked these cases, and here's the statistics of the cases we picked, and trust us, this is how we graded them. And that's what happens in both of the studies, the bear spray study and in the efficacy of firearms study. So in that study was published in 2008. Well, 10 years later, let's see. In 2018, they published another study that was 2015. Let me go back and be sure. I think it might have been published in 2010.
Right.
No, it's published in 2008. And then they updated the study in 2015, and they included six more years from 2010 to 2015. But in that 6 years, somehow they only came up with four more instances where bear spray was used, which is kind of weird, less than one per year. And when they included that with the 71 that they already had, they now have 75 instances. And the number of people involved goes up from 175 to 197. So they had 22 more people involved in only four more incidents. Now, in much of their study, they claim that if you have more than three people, polar bears or bears in general, just don't attack. And yet the average for those four incidents is 5.5. Unless you know the details of what those incidents are, it's hard to figure out what's going on. But you have those four incidents in to the 71 they already have.
Right.
Only one more person was injured in those four incidents, and it still stays at right at 98% of the people involved, whatever that means. We're not really told what that means or given a definition. We're injured. So that keeps the 98% figure, which is the number of people involved in these 75 incidents that they picked where bear spray was sprayed who were injured. We know that the number of aggressive, what they claim as aggressive bears in these incidents is only like, I had a number somewhere about 20-some percent, 30%. Let's see. They had 35%, yeah. 35% of the bear spray incidents involved aggressive bears. Well, then we look at the efficacy of firearms study, which was done in 2012. So it's in between the first efficacy of bear spray, then comes the efficacy of firearms, and then they have a combined study that comes out in 2018. So in the efficacy of firearms study, they had 269 total firearms incidents, which the authors of the study tell us they subjectively picked. For example, they had something like over 200, 250 or more incidents in the defense of firearms, defense of life and property, that's in the Alaska, that they had access to in Alaska. And they said they couldn't get any, didn't get access to any more after 1990. But they had something like 250. Of those 250, they picked 69 as ones they wanted to include in their study. Well, that tells you they rejected a lot of it. But we don't know what the details were on the incidents they picked and the ones they didn't. Now, if we looked at the 269 total incidents from the study that was published in 2012, we find 15% of those incidents, they said 215 of those involved aggressive bears.
Let me get you to hold right there on the aggressive bears tip as we come into the next break. This article, he's pulling it apart at the seams because I asked him to, because it reminds me of climate change. But you can find it at amaland.com. It reminds me of the climate change argument they make on a regular basis. This percentage of this and this percentage of that. No evidence. They just claim the percentage. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
I've seen just about every corner of this country, 3 million miles in my career. I spend a lot of hours on the road, but I love being my own boss. The road can be a beautiful place, but you're out here on your own. There certainly are risks. I'm Charles. I'm a truck driver, a husband, and a father. And that's why I choose Federal.
USA News update. Authorities in Hawaii are releasing a list of the names of hundreds of people still missing following recent wildfires. Rory O'Neill has more.
The list of the missing is shorter than it had been. 388 individuals remain unaccounted for following the fire in Lahaina August 8th. There are 115 confirmed fatalities. Police Chief John Pelletier acknowledged this list may be painful to read.
We need your help because we are only going to get through this if we're working together as one.
You can view the full list of the names of the missing on the website MauiNuiStrong.info.
Forecasters continue to keep tabs on a busy Atlantic hurricane season, including a system that could threaten Florida. A broad area low pressure in the northwestern Caribbean Sea could develop into a tropical depression as it moves into the eastern Gulf of Mexico early next week. Dave Collins, USA News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Back. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten, talking about bear spray efficacy and those kinds of things. And, can I presume you... Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so what happens is in the efficacy of bear spray, there are pains to tell us that they only include incidents where bear spray was actually sprayed at a bear. Okay, but in the efficacy of firearms, 15% of the incidents involved cases where the firearms were never fired. Well, if the firearms were never fired, it's highly unlikely you could claim that those cases were effective. But it's absolutely insane to take one study where you only look at where the defensive item was used and compare them to another study where 15% of the time the defensive item was not used. So if you add the 15% where the incidents were not fired or take that out of the statistics, then instead of a 75% success rate for long guns and an 84% rate for handguns, you get an 89% success rate for long guns and a 99% rate for handguns if you assume the failures to fire are divided proportionately. But we don't know that because we don't know what the actual incidents were.
Right.
We don't know the details. And for whatever reason, the researchers here refuse to allow that data out to the public or other researchers. Now, one of the things they look at in the firearms efficacy study is they say, well, they wanted to figure out how firearms failed, and one of the ways that they failed was people didn't access them. But the problem is the same for bear spray and handguns. In fact, I would argue, and I think I can make a very good case,
right,
that holsters and handguns are far more well-developed and ergonomic than bear spray and bear spray holsters. We have a century and a half of cartridge handguns where the handguns and holsters have been refined so that you can get at them quickly and reliably and use them in just a second or two very effectively. We don't have that history with bear spray.
Right.
They claim, of course, that you don't really have to aim bear spray, but you do. You have to get it in at least the general direction of the bear, and you have to use it kind of take the wind into account if there's any wind, and if there's very much wind at all, bear spray doesn't work very well at all.
Right.
So the problems of access are about the same. So I argue, and I think it's the right way to go, you should only look at the cases where the deterrent or the defensive tool was actually used. If it wasn't used, it doesn't tell us anything about how effective it is. You should only look when they're used. And that's what I did in looking at how effective handguns are in defense against bears. And I and my colleagues did not refuse. One of the things we decided at the very beginning is we would include every incident where a handgun was fired in defense against bears in our calculations. We would not take any out. We wouldn't. And that's in an attempt to get rid of selection bias. One of the biggest problems in science is when people decide what data they are going to use and what data they are not. And that's called selection bias. And everybody will tend to want to, even if unconsciously, keep a bit of data that shows what they believe should be the case and ignore a bit of data which shows that their theory is not correct. It's a serious problem. Everybody who does scientific study understands it. And the problem with the studies done by Herrero and Smith is that they say they pick their incidents subjectively, but they don't tell us what those incidents are. So I was able to find some supplemental data for the efficacy in firearms studies. Now, at the very beginning of this, I quoted Tom Smith as saying that 50% of the people in their firearms study were injured. But when you look at the numbers that they put out in their supplemental data, that's not the case at all. What you find is there were 444 people involved in firearms incidents, and 122 were injured. Yet they also say that 151 incidents occurred where people were injured. Well, how can you have only 122 people injured in 151 incidents? I'm not saying it's absolutely false. The number crunching and the way the study has been done and written up is extremely confusing and difficult to understand because they don't use the same basis for percentages in a whole lot of different cases, and they jump around from one thing to another. They don't provide a really useful table. That's my opinion. And when you're doing that kind of thing on the unfortunate circumstances, all the complexity tends to confuse things and obfuscate things that you might otherwise appear obvious. And what they do in this study is they put everything into a model. Now, right away, you can see the similarity to climate change. what's called climate change. Most of what we are told are the terrible effects of climate change come from models. But the models don't agree, and all you have is the results of a model which the people who are running the model basically determine by what data they put into the model. And as a professional meteorologist who worked with a lot of people who run these models, I can tell you that there's a lot of judgment involved in what to put in and what to keep out and what assumptions to make. And we see the same thing in this paper about bears. And it's not hard to figure out that the people who wrote the paper, Tom Smith and Herrero, and then there's some other authors. One of them is the editor at the journal where the paper was published, that they have a very strong bias in favor of bears. And I would say that it's not hard to figure out, and they explicitly state this, these people in different things, places, interviews and stuff like that, not necessarily in their papers precisely, although it's pretty clear when you start reading them, that one of the major purposes to push for bear spray is to keep bears from being killed. But we've got lots of bears. We have plenty of bears. The bear populations of grizzlies and polar bears and black bears are all growing. They all have to be controlled. They all have to be harvested to keep the numbers in acceptable levels. And so if you kill a couple of bears here and there, which are threatening people or are being aggressive around people, it doesn't impact the bear population one whit. It is not a problem for bear populations or keeping healthy populations of bears.
All right. I got too wound up in that. Hang on for me, if you will. Talking to Dean Weingarten. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten. We've been talking about the about bear spray.
Yes, we have. I wanted to put out the percentage. If you look at the number they say were injured,
right,
out of the number of incidents where firearms were used, you only get 73% of the people were not injured, not 50%. So they're comparing apples and oranges, or as the writer I quoted previously said, apples to hand grenades. It's not that you can't defend that comparison. It's not a valid comparison. And there's a real difficulty in all of these numbers because almost certainly most of the defenses of people against bears are not recorded. The vast majority of incidents which are recorded are when the defense fails. Because if a bear is shot and runs off and doesn't hurt anybody, it's not news, generally. That's changed a little bit with grizzly bears lately.
Right.
But if a black bear is shot and runs off or killed and doesn't hurt anybody, it's not news. If a bear is sprayed and it runs off and doesn't hurt anybody, it's not news. So there's tremendous selection bias in what is recorded and what isn't. So it's really hard to know how effective either any of the incidents are. But we do know, since we've kept track of those we can see, that handguns are in the neighborhood of 97, 98 per second in stopping attacks.
Right.
And there's one statistic that is the most accurate of all we have, and that's when people are killed by bears. Those are almost always recorded. I mean, okay, yeah, if you've got a bunch of Inuit up in the Arctic, 200, 300, 400 years ago, and they get killed by bears, well, we're not going to hear about it. Inuit didn't have records. They pass things down orally. It's not something we can depend on easily. But when Europeans were in the area, when people got killed by bears,
right,
it was generally recorded. It's an unusual event. So we look at we have records where cartridge handguns were used from 1890 to 2022 in defense against bears. We have found 170 incidents. One person was killed up in Svalbard, north of the Arctic Circle, when the people attempted to use a 22 handgun to defend against a polar bear. Mm-hmm. That's the only person we've been able to find who was killed while using a handgun to defend themselves against bears. In comparison, we found 7 incidents where people were killed from 2003 to 2022 where bear spray was used in an attempt to defend against bears. So in the one statistic where we probably have pretty good actual data collection, which is human fatalities, 7 times as many people have been killed attempting to using bear spray versus those who have used handguns. Now, that's not all firearms, but handguns was what I started collecting data on, I and others, because the claim was made that they were ineffective against bears. So we started collecting all the data we could. Now, somebody could collect all the data they could find about long guns as well, but it's a lot of work. So we have concentrated on handguns. And incidentally, Tom Smith and Stephen Herrero also found out that handguns tended to be more effective than long guns.
Right.
Now, we don't know if that's when they were fired or not. My suspicion is 2 things, that handguns are with you where you tend to lay down a long gun or have it slung over your shoulder. And surprisingly, a lot of people carry the long guns around without a round in the chamber. So that's one dynamic that could make handguns more effective. The other is that at extremely close range, when a bear gets up to contact distance, it's easier to hang on to a handgun than it is to hang on to a long gun.
Right.
So I suspect that's why handguns are seen as more effective in these defensive situations. Now, for hunting, I would say a long gun is probably more effective. But we're not talking about hunting. We're talking about defense at close range. If the bear is 200 or 300 yards away from you, it gets hard to say it's a defensive situation. You know, when it gets so close that a handgun becomes very effective, it's almost always a defensive situation.
Well, I mean, that 200 yards, though, that's actually just enough time. A bear can run, what, 35 miles an hour?
Oh, yeah.
At a flat out charge. How long does that take a bear to cover 200 yards? 25 seconds?
A little less. Yeah. Probably 15 seconds.
Yeah. So you at least have time to pull the gun out and start making a few decisions.
You do. But that's the other thing we find, is most defensive situations are not flat out charges. When you look at their bear spray numbers, only 10 out of their 71 incidents are charges. Only 14, excuse me. 14, 10, 10, I think.
Right.
10 of the incidents are of the 71. So that's, 1/7. And when I look at the firearms incidents, again, the number of flat-out charges is a relatively small percentage of the total. Those are dire circumstances in which you have to act very quickly. But even so, firearms can be very effective. It only takes I would say if you have 2 seconds warning, you have enough to get a firearm into play.
Right.
That is, if it's not slung over your shoulder with an empty chamber and safety on.
Right.
But if you have it in a holster and it's a handgun, they're designed to get at quickly and put in play quickly, and you have a little bit more time because you don't have the barrel sticking way out in front of you that if a bear hits it, it knocks it out of your hands and away. So we see many instances where flat-out charges are stopped by people with handguns, and they don't necessarily have to kill the bear dead right there. There's quite a few where the bear is shot and decides it doesn't want to continue the fight and runs off.
Right.
So that's one of the things I've noticed about Tom Smith is he talks as if the only time you have to defend yourself against a bear is when it's a flat-out charge from 5 feet away. But that is an extremely rare event.
Right.
Those are the circumstances where defensive systems fail because you have very little time to react.
Right.
But that's not the most common case where you have to defend yourself. And the only, not the only, but that case tends to be much more common with grizzly bears than it does with either polar bears or black bears. Both polar bears and black bears, their attacks tend to be predatory attacks. And because they, neither black bears or polar bears, make a habit of eating people on a regular basis, because they're just, for black bears, if they start nosing around people too much, they usually end up getting killed. And for polar bears, they just don't see very many people. And the same goes for black bears in true wilderness areas. And sometimes that's a more common place for black bears to attack people than other circumstances, because they just don't know what a person is.
Right.
And they think it may be prey. It might be good to eat.
Right.
Both polar bears and black bears will give you some time.
We are running out of time. This was fascinating. I was getting lost in the story once again, as I do. Whenever Dean starts talking about bears, I sort of lose track of time. Hopefully we reconvene before the end of the week. If not, maybe we'll pick it up and do something for Gun Owners News Hour, maybe? You think that might be something we do?
Maybe,
we might do
that, sure.
All right, well, in any event, find Dean's work. Find this article. This article was published, what day was this article published? On the 22nd of August?
Yeah, today.
At ammoland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Very good.
When it comes to online gun shops, Primary Arms is one of America's largest retailers of new firearms, parts, accessories, and gear. They stock over 600 popular brands, all with everyday low prices and fast shipping. If you ever have any questions about a product, their team of product experts will help you make the right purchase. So, don't settle for less. Visit PrimaryArms.com today and see why so many gun owners make it their first destination for all of their firearm needs.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.